Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Stirrup Cup. Nice to see you all. And anybody that's watching this on the audio channels or on YouTube, of course, we are filming and we've got audio tonight for OMG MotoGP. So if you want to have a look back at it, that's the website to take a look at. We've got loads more announcements coming up as well. But tonight we should have a bit of a giggle, I think, with the people we got in the house. It feels like a paddock in here. There's a young racers, old racers and extremely old racers that are in the house. So should have a bit of a giggle as we move on through the evening. But first up, we've got to have Lenny. Leon Haslam, please. Welcome to the front of the Stirrup Cup for a quick couple of words, because I couldn't possibly not talk to Leon. Round of applause. Well done. Sit anywhere you like, Leon. There you go.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, he defies a man that's actually injured at the moment. So I think, first of all, we've got to go for, before we get onto the academy, we've got some of your academy kids here as well, but let's talk first of all about a very recent and unfortunate injury that you're carrying.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a crash in the middle of Jan.
A little bit of a crash?
Yeah. Second lap, had to jump off and decided to try and go through a tyre wall, which wasn't ideal. But no, it's all good. I'm on like a rehab programme. We're not racing until April, so... Yeah, just a little bit boring, sat on push bikes, watching all these boys ride bikes every day.
Why does it always happen in testing, usually on a motocross bike or something along those lines? But, I mean, it's quite... I mean, you're playing it down, of course you are, because that's what racers do. But, you know, shoulder injury particularly, that's a fair old joint to be mucked about with.
Yeah, you know, obviously we've all done collarbones and whatever, and ligaments are a nightmare, and obviously the boys have done the fair share of shoulders as well, so... Yeah, you get to know what works and what you can do to try and help recover. But yeah, definitely the shoulder's not an ideal one.
Hugely disappointing from a racing perspective, but you're a bit like the management nowadays as well, haven't you? You've got a lot of other strings to your bow that are going on.
Yeah, honestly, it's going really well. You know, these last 3 years, we've set the academy up. We've won a couple of British championships. We've got 17 riders this year. We've got a few of the guys down here. So, yeah, I'm absolutely loving that side of it. You know, fitness test camps, you know, being involved with the tuition, my dad's involved a lot with it as well. So yeah, it's going really, really well.
So where do you see? I mean, you mentioned your dad. I mean, bless him, he's still fast, but he's in pain now as well, isn't he? Pain.
Yeah, we had him out in Valencia at New Year, and I got him on my superbike, and he managed to squeeze into my leathers and absolutely loved it. And he was like, "Oh, I must get back in the gym now." And I was like, "Oh, Dad, your age, yes, you don't need to go back in the gym, you know." But yeah, he'll be out in Spain with the boys, and yeah, he loves getting out there for sure.
He's still fast as well, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%, especially on the littler bikes. You know, he did a lot of the race course stuff for years, so his actual speed on them, it takes me a good half a day to even get up to his pace. So yeah, it's still going.
Young man sport. Heckling from the left this time. You'll have your chance in a minute, believe me. There's plenty to talk about with you guys. I go back a long way with you. I've got a whole notepad here full of stuff. Jay Yeldman, Harry Cook, Charlotte Marcuzu, thank you. Sorry, Charlotte. I'll definitely remember that in future, I'm sure, if I ever get round to commentating on you. We've got Ryan Frost in the house as well, and a really old geezer called Dave Fabian. Anybody that remembers locally, a fellow called Dave Fabian. Go on, Dave. Hey, I'm going to embarrass the hell out of you. So there is like a paddock around here as well. Nobody's slow anymore. There used to be a situation where you went club racing. Oh, thanks, Chris. You went club racing. You know, you kind of, track days weren't really a thing back in the day. Club racing, national racing, maybe you fell off the edge of the bridge at that particular point, didn't get to international. But now there are no slow riders, it almost seems to me. You go to a track day and there's half a dozen really quick guys. Yeah. Steve Parrish, he always made me laugh. He had to stand in for somebody on one of these focused event type things or whatever it was somewhere in Almeria, I think it was. And he developed this way of doing the track day. He was supposed to be guiding these guys around and they were all faster than him. So he pretended to get round the track and stop to observe their style, you know, rather than get lapped. I mean, how do you, from an academy point of view, how do you look after that progress of so many fast kids? What do you look for?
For me, it's not even about looking for the next best talent. It's about trying to create opportunities for young riders to be able to show the talent. It's a very expensive sport. You know, a lot of people are trying to do it themselves. You know, don't have the best opportunities. You know, you go out to Spain and people are pit biking every day. You've got your training camps, you've got the advice, you've got everything that's there, where the UK does seem to miss that as an outlet. So, you know, the reason why, you know, we have a variety of people through the academy, it doesn't necessarily mean is that you want to go and be a world champion, but it's creating an opportunity so you can. So it's a turn-up situation. You've got professionals building your bikes. You've got tuition from my dad. You've got Olin's technician. You've got me. It's outlets to be used. And, you know, I do that every day anyway. We do the camps. We do the training. So to do it with, a load of young athletes, you know, it's good inspiration for me, a bit like the Rossi camp. And I'm still doing what I'd always do. And I did it with the Lowe's boys. And, you know, they're going off and doing what they're doing now. And now we're doing it with these guys.
He's claiming credit, boys.
Seeing her in the wrong direction, probably. That's about anything.
And then you've got the likes of Charlotte. Sorry, Charlotte Makusu, that I will try and get right as we go on. But, I mean, Charlotte is one of many females now joining us. It's a very small pool. And that is an important area that needs sorting out, effectively.
Yeah.
And they are. The FIM are working towards it.
Yeah, 100%. There's a lot more opportunities that are being created. And, you know, from my side, it wasn't about male, female. It was about creating opportunities. And, you know, Charlotte's had a really good career so far. And she's working hard. You know, all the fitness tests are improving every time. And I think she'll have a really good year next year with a new super team class.
Where's the big difference? Oh, it's going to sound daft, but I'll say it anyway because it is me. Where's the big difference between men and women when it comes to racing motorbikes?
From my side, physically, there's not much. Racing, as you know, is mental. It's a mental state, and you know, it's all about want and drive. So from my side of it, I don't really differentiate between the two. How then you perceive probably by others and teams and sponsors, you can either use it to your advantage or you can go against you. And in the past, it probably went against you, but it's nice to see now that it is actually creating better opportunities.
What about money? Because money is always the big issue, particularly here in the UK, it would seem.
It's a massive issue, and I think that's the hardest thing from my side of it. You know, it's you go and win a championship now, a 400 championship. You have to move on because the rules dictate it. If you're in the top three, you have to move on. To move on, you've got to go and find another 60 grand. And you've just won the championship, you know. Back in my day, I'm sounding old now.
But it's okay, I can beat you on that one.
If you won, you should get rewarded for winning. You should get an opportunity to move on. You should be able to do that. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do now. So we've got eight riders in the 400s. If you win that or in the top three, you get a free ride in the class above. If you do that, I'm trying to get representation in all the classes. And a lot of teams try and keep on to these young talents. I'd be more than happy to get them a role elsewhere if it was a good opportunity for them to move on. And it's a little bit different to others of just wanting to win. It's trying to create opportunities for them.
You know, we used to whinge in our day about the amount of money that we were earning. But back then, I remember I earned 25 grand in prize money in 1979, won a British championship. I bought a house and had change. You could do that. And that was just in prize money before we even got to what was then start money as well. Whereas nowadays, you know, if you thought you were going to buy a house in your first, impossible. No, so how do you see that improving? Where do you see that coming from? Where do you see the changes there? Is it something that the circuits need to get on board? I mean, we've seen Jonathan Palmer. He's done a great job with the MSVR track stuff. He's made a really good job of the circuits. He's very professional. But you get the kind of feeling that, you know, there's a fair wedge of money that's staying his side of the border when it could be spent a little bit more on development?
Yeah, it's a business at the end of the day, and he does run, he's a very good businessman. But, you know, from my side, the only negative I would say on a British Championship is that they create opportunities to stay in England, not to move on. You know, when anyone that has moved on in recent years, Brad Ray, Tarryn McKenzie, they've had to go not because they've been given a good opportunity to move on. They've had to go with whatever they could just to get out of England. And for me, that's the missing point. You know, it's, if you win a championship, I'd like to see the manufacturers step in and say, OK, we will place you in World Supersport. We will place you in one of our teams, you know, I'm with Kawasaki, obviously, get them involved. But at the minute, they don't have the power to do that because all the teams are independent. So they can't be dictated to by a manufacturer to take a young rider and a maybe. But for me, that's what's missing. You need to be able to, if a kid wins on a manufacturer, that manufacturer should create an opportunity for him. And at the minute, I'm trying to do it, but I can't place him in a world team. I can't place him in other places.
Do you have a direct phone number with Espeleta, for instance, Carmelo Espeleta? Because, I mean, Dorna have been, you know, Jake Dixon wouldn't be where he was if Dorna and IRTA, International Race Teams Association, hadn't put the funding in. Jeremy McWilliams, if you want to go back a few more years.
Dorna have done it for a bit every year, and there's always one that they'll invest into, you know, but they do that to tick a box because they need a British contingency in MotoGP.
Is Dan Rossomondo going to make any difference to that? The new American guy that they've brought in as a marketing strategist as well as lots of other things. Is he going to make any difference?
I think, you know, there's a difference. It's a Spanish championship run by the Spanish with Spanish sponsors and Spanish teams. But then what they're recognising is they need to give other countries opportunities. So they'll try and place a Czech rider, a French rider, and do it that way. But from my side of it is that it should be about how good you are. You know, the best rider should get the opportunities, where political side of it does come into it, in my opinion.
Right, Leon wasn't going to be interviewed tonight. He was just here having a beer.
No,
stay where you are for a minute, because if there's anybody in the room that fancies shouting out a question early on tonight, we are more than happy to hear from you. No.
You can sit down, you can. Go on.
Who's going to win out here, Sam?
Oh, Sam.
Sam. I can't wait for these boys to race this year.
I'll tell you what, I'm glad I ain't paying the bills.
No, it's it's good banter in the gym, and obviously I've known these guys for years. But
who's any good at... Actually, you're all playing golf, you lot. You tell me you beat them, they tell me they beat you.
Yeah.
Let's have some honesty now.
The last
100 games, who's won the most?
I've won the most.
It's okay, we've got a lead roof.
Yeah.
Lightning ain't coming through. Leon, thank you very much for giving us your time. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Right, ladies and gentlemen, well, you've heard them chirping from the outskirts, so we'll bring them on, shall we? Sam and Alex Lowes, the twins. So they even argue about who's going to be first to sit down.
He's the oldest, isn't he?
He's what?
He's the oldest.
He's the oldest.
No, he said you can go in the middle. You're the quickest, he said. I said smallest, actually, but...
And what's that about?
Yeah, well,
do you measure that as well?
Not for a long time. Not since we've been married.
It's a good job you're not paid by the inch. Gentlemen, lovely to see you both here. I mean... It's difficult to know where to start with you two because the stories are so long and been going on for a while now. I mean, I can't believe, if you don't mind me saying, 33 years old, mature,
what?
Mature fast racers now. Well, I'm not doing Lenny, am I? I still haven't got Leon's age.
Leon,
right.
Are you still 35?
21.
Yeah, come back.
That's a neck measurement,
not an age.
He
used to be 10 years older than us, now we're the same age.
Well, I remember when he was born.
He was in Grand Prix when we were born and he's still 5 years older now.
He's still bloody quick, though.
Yeah.
That you can't take away from him.
Nope.
That is for sure. Okay, let's go back. I mean, mum and dad, can you imagine this, folks? That you've got a kid that wants to go racing motorbikes that you think's got some potential, and then, bugger me, you've got two of them. What an absolute nightmare. I mean, your mum and dad, bless them.
Yeah.
A lot of effort from very early on. When I first met you two guys, it was out of a tiny awning on the side of a bloody... caravan actually back then, and 2125s that I'll get a smack if Stuart hears this, but not too well held together. one might say, because he was having to work on both of them for both of you.
And they got crashed a bit.
A little bit. Take us back to
By Alex, obviously.
Should have brought your wives just to make this honest, shouldn't we, really? So what was the story right at the very beginning? What's the first memories you have from childhood, school into racing?
Well, we did motocross. Started in motocross like a lot of people did back then. Obviously, there's a lot more mini bikes, Ovali Cups, and it was just sort of motocross then, if you wanted to get started before you was 12 or 13 years old. And then our old man's not massively into motocross and dirty bikes, and he was from road racing, so he wanted us to go road racing. So we sort of first proper years was in the Aprilia Challenge. He used to run at the MRO BEMSI meetings, and that was where we first properly started enjoying it. And and then we're obviously competitive. We really got into it, and then you're sort of pushing each other, and it sort of went from there, really. That's sort of first memories I've got of it, and we always loved it. We always used to obviously be sharing bunk beds at home and talking about racing bikes and wanting to race bikes and watching old videos it would have been back then, with you were probably talking on some of them from the GP500s. And so we've always really, really loved it, been fully into it, and yeah, we've it's always what we wanted to do. Been very lucky to obviously had to be where we are, but it was, yeah,
double
positive
vision,
memories.
Double vision racing, as it was known back in the day. I mean, it's back then, you seem to be much more similar than you are now. I'm not talking about looks, I'm talking about personalities. You seem to be, you know, two kids.
Yeah, I've matured, haven't I? He hasn't. He used to have really bad jokes then, and they're just the same jokes, just keeps recycling them now.
Do you ever come, I mean, like my kids come to blows. Does this ever happen in your house? Has it ever happened in your house?
Not yet, soon. In about two weeks' time after the first race,
weeks and four laps' time, it's going to really happen.
We're never going to speak then.
No, we're lucky that we've always got on good. We've done everything together. We're obviously competitive in everything we do. Also, we're Leon golfing, riding, training. We're lucky to have such a good relationship, really.
Let's hit the training trail, shall we? Because both of you are renowned throughout the sport by anybody from MotoGP backwards to be probably the hardest training people in the paddock.
I think nowadays everyone trains quite hard, but we've been lucky from a younger age. Started, I don't know how it was, when we was in the gym with Leon already. So when you're late teens or even before that, but you see that work ethic, you sort of evolve into that, and we've always done it, all still training with Kurt, which is fantastic. And yeah, I think it's part of your job is that...
Yeah, we find it easy really training, because we still wake up now, we still speak, we know how lucky we are to do what we do. So getting up early and giving your best in the gym that's like the minimum requirement, and we've always found it quite easy to do that. And like Sam said, now the fitness side of all sports across the board, whether it is motorsport or it's changed so much with the information people have. It's sort of being fit enough is like a minimum requirement now. You don't really have an advantage on that side because everybody's fit. But yeah, we've always took it, you know, really, really
I've really upped it this year.
Have you?
Yeah, I've been, the last few weeks I've not been training with him, just to not show him my edge, ready for next week. Been going in a bit later, just seeing him when he's tired, and then started fresh, just to not show my hand too early.
I've actually been doing extra, that's why he's not seen me.
He said that today, because today I actually started later, so he said, oh, what'd you do? I said, I run. He goes, what'd you run? I said, I run at 15, he went, I was at 16. Yeah. I went, oh, did I say 15? I meant 18.
Just literally, just us two in the car.
There's no one else down here. And I said, oh, yeah, then at the end, I put it down to 18 at the end.
I said, I was actually at 20, but don't matter, does it? Won't count him.
Is it like this every day?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not bad, though. The thing is, when I, like, obviously, the last 10 years, we're not racing against each other, so I've been, even though now I'm in Subac, but followed it even though I've not been there. So it's still, even now being racing against him, I still want him to do, I want him to win. If I can't win, you know, we still want the best for each other. So, but obviously, as a competitive, we're competitive people, so you still want to beat each other.
Staying on the training front, of course, I don't think everybody, or perhaps people do have jobs like this, I don't know, but you start the week, and of course, you're strong, you're fit, you've had not, you know, your injuries are pretty much behind you. And then you've got Saturday, or maybe not, and then you've got Saturday, But you've got a peak on the last day of working really hard through a weekend and maybe a couple of crashes and so on and so forth. The last day is the one that you want it all for, isn't it? It's the last day.
I think for me this year that'll be a big thing because now with
three races on a bigger bike.
Three races. With
yeah, tired, isn't it?
Especially the last year.
Race one, it might, yeah, fresh. It's going to be fresh. But by race two, it's going to drop a bit. By race three, it's going to be...
I've got a feeling there's going to be a lot of green and white up the side of his bike.
He's forgot I'm on a Ducati and it rides itself, doesn't it? So, like,
I was too scared when I had to come on a Kawasaki. He had to go with a Ducati. But we'll see.
We will.
I've got to say, it's actually funny because we've been testing Jerez and Portimao a couple of weeks ago and went out pits first lap of the year behind each other, but he had a problem with his bike misfiring. Normal when they build new bikes up, and then he ran into the back of him.
On the outside of me, it turned out he come out. I was laughing, I was like, that'd have been good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Literally, I was really close just to running into the back of him. So,
well, let's talk about the two bikes that you've got this year just for a minute, get them out of the way. I mean, the Kawasaki looks really good, a bit retro, I've got to say, with this year's paint.
Yeah, I like it though, but it's a little bit different.
What about that Ducati? I mean, obviously, it is the bike. I mean, I know it's not the factory machine. I mean, are you getting the factory help? I mean, Mark VDS, Mark van der Straten, he don't do things by halves. He'll be chucking some cash at it, that is for certain. But yeah, a one rider team, perhaps not ideal.
For now.
It won't, mate. Honestly, the team, the bike, just till next year when Alex is coming. But the
double bike, vision racing again.
Good thing with Ducati, why they are doing as good as they are is they share everything. So as soon as you come in, as even in testing, after the first hour, the first 2 hours, The guys with electronics and they open it up and you've got everyone's data. Bulaga, Bautista, you know, Ney, Petrucci, mine, and what lap times are done, what tyres they're on. So it's like having five teammates. So honestly, that without that would have been harder. But no, the way Ducati work and the support we've got and the bike I'll have, it'll be more or less the same as the factory. The bike will be good enough to win. So
I think it's one of the reasons actually why they're doing so well across the board. MotoGP, same sort of setup with a lot of riders. The more information, fast and relevant information you can have. It has to help everyone. So I think that's definitely a positive for Ducati.
And Bulaga is looking pretty useful now as well. He's come from a little bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been going all right. Yeah, I think in the end, testing's one thing, and I don't think it's really showed the true...
It's always the same, isn't it? This time of the year, all the journalists and all us are sitting beside, speculate on who's going to do what. But when the shit's in the fan and the line of fire...
Yeah, like I said, they share all the information. I've seen all the data laps I've done, all the Ducati riders done, Bautista's done. But Bulaga wouldn't have won any of the rate at the test, so he's gone well. But he's gone really well. But Phillip Island will probably be a good track for him. But there's a lot of good riders this year in the championship, so it'll be interesting. It'll be good.
I mean, the movie's a big one for you. I mean, it goes without saying you're looking forward to it, but how did the Ducati feel as soon as you got on it? What did it feel like to you? Sometimes you jump on a bike at the beginning of the season and you go, whoa, this is...
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I went on the Aprilia the first time in 20, well, it would probably be 16, 17, did about 5 laps coming. I thought, fucking hell, it's going to be a long year. Didn't have any feeling. I thought, it's like this. I did a second one. I thought, yeah, now I'm definitely fucked here. But with the Ducati, it was in the rain in Jerez. Conditions were not great. I did about 4 laps coming in, honestly, I was like, I can see why they're doing well. So rider friendly. Of course, then the last bit, the last few temps and the race pace, I don't know yet, but the feeling on the bike, the way the bike reacts is so rider friendly. It was a surprise. Coming from Moto2, which obviously don't have any power, is quite stiff. It's harder to ride in the Ducati Superbike, which I can't get my head on. Really.
Sometimes it's easier to come back off of a really sharp Grand Prix bike to a slightly softer production-based bike anyway. But, I mean, from your point of view, I mean, you're cutting edge, front of your game. Jonathan's cleared off.
Yeah.
Now's the opportunity to be the man that they focus on to look after, to make sure that you get what you need. Was there anything in that tie-up with Jonathan? I mean, Pere Riba was like, well, he was like Mafia. Way he held that side of the garage together. Was that slightly, I mean, you can't obviously say it was detrimental, but was there some detriment to the fact that Jonathan...
Probably didn't think at the time, but now he's moved across, he feels all right.
Yeah, to be honest, I quite enjoyed being teammates with Johnny, because I always felt like if I ever, the times I was racing with him or beat him a few times, he's a perfect reference as a teammate. He's one of the best riders ever in Superbike on paper anyway. So I always enjoyed that challenge, but... It's hard jumping into a team. Leon knows, we spoke about it a lot, jumping in the other side of the garage, because you don't really have a voice on what to say. Naturally, like Honda have done with Marquez, or when you've got a guy that's winning so much, they have to listen to what he's saying. But yeah, now Johnny's left, but I'm moving over to his side of the garage to try something different with Pereira, and testing's gone well. The bike's improved a bit, changed a little bit. The rules are a little bit different this year in Superbike, but the way that the guys are with me is completely different. I've enjoyed it a lot more, and I think that on a race weekend, it's going to help me get a lot more out of the package. So I'm looking forward to it.
Do you rely at all on your teammate, as in Bassani now coming in? Is he going to be of any assistance to you, or is it now your team leader leaving behind? Hey? Cleaning your boots. Everybody needs a helmet polisher, Leon. You've had the best in your time, and I know that.
Leon's never cleaned a pair of boots, though, I'll tell you that. But nah, not really. He's a bit strange, isn't he, really? Italians can be a bit strange. He's like very arrogant. He struggled a bit in testing, I felt like. But if you speak with him, he thinks...
He's the big...
Yeah, he thinks that he's going to be all right, I think. But, yeah, I don't know. He didn't really bring any information from Ducati. He's not, like, let's say, too technical. The only stuff I know from Ducati is what he tells me, which he shouldn't tell me. So yeah, that helps in some ways.
Remember, the first test I did with Ducati end last year, conditions were bad, so he didn't do much. But I said, oh, my brother's here. He's coming in the garage. They're like, is he technical? Will he look at it? I says, oh, no, he can't even spell his own name. Like, he can, but he walked in and then they're like worried about it. I'm like, as if you think I'm not going to tell him straight away anyway.
Yeah.
It has changed a lot on that front. I mean, there was a time when you'd all go down the pub and Yamaha would mix with Honda, Honda would mix with Ducati. Everyone would be having a good time together. But now, mechanics, you don't see them out drinking.
No, but Ducati are real. See, some of the stuff I ask about the bike.
They don't like me. They definitely don't like me going.
No,
in
but even me, I say, oh, how does that work? What are they using that? And they just don't answer. I'm like, okay, I'm not asking again then. But
group of dodgy Italians.
You get the information.
We can say that because he's married to one, so you know how dodgy they are.
Yeah, they're all dodgy. Yeah. But the way, I mean, but then you sort of don't need to know as a rider. So I get that as well. But yeah, they keep everything close to the chest, definitely.
Yeah, but Marina will keep that covered.
Yeah. I mean, she's got it covered.
Yeah, the missus is pretty cool on that front.
Yeah, she'll.
I mean, if you go back to all
scared
the.
Scared of her, that's why.
I'm scared of her.
So is he.
I'm not scared of her.
So am I, actually. We all are.
I can do anything I want.
She's a sweetheart, me, obviously. And she's been brilliant for you. She has been brilliant for you. I mean, through Mark Medias, don't you think?
I don't know. Yeah, she doesn't have as much say as what you'd think in some sides of it.
She's been good for him off the track because she's a bit more sensible than him, especially with wasting loads of money. So that's been good.
The kind of worrying thing is that
on a job side,
Hodgson has helped him spend his money.
Yeah.
By the way, he manages it, Alex, if you didn't know that.
Manages me, yeah.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a T-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
No, she's good. The wife's good. She obviously, if you don't know, my wife, she actually runs the VDS team, or helps run, or one of the top people running it, the Moto2 and the Superbike. So, yeah,
that's probably be a reason why I never ride there, because obviously, what am I classed as? Brother-in-law.
Yeah.
It's not good, is it?
No, you don't quite make the mark, do you?
No.
It's funny that...
I'm always on Sam's side, so it don't go well when we're at dinner.
And then you have Roger Burnett, who manages you. So you've got a situation where Roger Burnett, who used to manage...
Me, yeah.
He used to manage Hodgson.
Yeah.
Now Hodgson manages Alex.
Manages me, yeah.
And manages you. It's a bloody funny world we're in. How many degrees of separation is there in our particular world?
Old Hodgie. He's done a good job, really, to be fair. I can't complain about Neil too much.
I'll tell you what, I hear everything.
I would if he was here, but he's not here, so he's doing well. Really.
He's in California.
Yeah,
on holiday. I think he's going to move there, isn't he?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Mr. California, isn't he, with his shades on? Highlights.
The only man to wear pink leathers other than David Fabian.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome, Dave.
Dave's out. Did you wear pink as well? Nothing wrong with pink. Nothing wrong with pink.
There's nothing wrong with pink.
Matt?
No. JT, I love you.
I used to have it. Yeah.
As long as you're fast, there's not.
Oh, that's true. That is very true. I could never
any
wear
colour,
it.
Any design if you're fast. If you're slow, risky.
So, strategy for this year, if there is going to be one, I mean, between the two of you.
Yeah, my strategy is I've got the experience on him, so if I don't make it count the first part of the year, I feel like I might be in trouble.
We're having some deals. I said, look, I ain't got a teammate. Obviously not got a teammate. So I said, look, we need to play a bit in the bit of toe every now and then. So we're going to work together a bit. Well, I don't know for how long. First couple of rounds, anyway.
I mean, respect. Sorry, lads, I've got to mention it, but you do try exceedingly hard, both of you. There has been a fair bit of crash damage in the past.
Yeah.
Seeing you two in the same race, I can only feel that's going to go up.
Honestly, I don't think it... All signs are that there's potential that we might crash a bit. Nah, I think it's easier for him. I think that Moto 2 class...
Of course it is.
nothing to do with it, but I think the Moto 2 class is a tough class in general. It's a class with the most crashes, I think. The tyres are hard. It's hard to get a feeling whenever the temperatures... I know some years MotoGP with the Michelin didn't work well. There's a lot of cold tyre crashes. But apart from that, the Moto 2 class seems to be a lot of strange crashes. Then on top of that, yeah, we try hard. We don't really accept bad results. So, yeah, sometimes we try too hard. But I think having different people around me from my side anyway will help. And I think Sam... coming to Superbike.
Yeah, with the Superbike, there's more margin. In that side is a bit easier. Also, it's my first year. I'm a rookie. So, no, but it's a bit less expectation in some ways. So, yeah, of course, there's some races where I might be able to accept it a little bit more.
World Championships are always a thing that we go for. It's funny how people forget about Supersports World Championships. They forgot about Cal Crutchlow's all the time. Never ever hear anybody talk about them. It's like they didn't count, but they were actually bloody hard fought and won.
Did count, yeah.
Likewise, British Championships are not the easiest things in the world either, are they? So these things behind you at the moment, looking forward, I mean, how do you see the season going for Kawasaki and for Ducati?
I think for me, obviously, at the minute, until I was... really rode the bike in a race situation and understand better the tyres and everything. I can't say too much, but we'll be in the mix.
He'll definitely win a race this year. From what I've seen anyway, the first day on the bike in Jerez, he did a 38 round Jerez, and anyone that knows Jerez is a serious time. You do go quite well in Jerez. You won a couple of Grand Prix, so it's not that. He obviously quite likes the track, but...
But at the beginning of the year, it always seems to me like Jerez is... unbelievably fast when it's a bit cooler.
But if you go relevant to everybody else, it's still impressive. So I think if he gets his head around the class, the different races, I genuinely think he can win a race as a rookie. And I need to get back to that level that I've been at. So, yeah, one of my targets is if we can be on the podium, if we can share a podium together, especially in the first part of the year, then that'd be pretty cool. We've always dreamed of racing together. It's been 15, 16 years since we have. But if we can be on the World Championship podium together, that'd be pretty cool.
There'll be a few people in here raising.
Obviously, as long as he's...
behind you.
Yeah.
That's why he's put me in the middle now, because you go in the middle, don't you, when you're on the top step. So. I think you're second, Keith, he's third. So.
Well done, Keith.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. That for me, actually.
been a while for me.
What's the situation regarding injury? I mean, like, you know, we've seen Leon has already had an off this year, and that's quite a serious injury, even though he was playing it down. That is something in the back of your mind. Now that you've reached this ripe old age that you've managed to reach, surely the maturity says that I've got to try and stay fit in those early rounds or I'm not going to win a world title.
Yeah, you don't really think about the injuries, but you think that the points. And like Pere Riba, he's been talking to me about that. The more accepting the results and racking up points. We've got so many races now in Superbike on the weekends that if you're finishing all the races in solid positions, come the end of the year, you're in the mix. So... yeah, that's something that we obviously need to be focused on. Last year, I had some injuries, but I had a couple of injuries away from the track. I had a knee operation, but really what I was doing was getting myself ready. Because I knew he was coming, so I thought, right, wipe this last part of the year off. I'll get myself ready, and then...
He said, I could wait for the winter to have the op, but I'm having it now just to be primed.
Yeah, I wanted to do a good winter. I don't want any excuses.
What difference has Pere Riba made in the situation you're in? Now he's moved across. Is he going to be a... of any...
Yeah, I reckon.
I think it'll be the biggest, whatever they do with the bike.
Leon,
biggest,
what do you reckon? Because you worked change. In the other side, the same side of the garage Alex has been on the last few years. So now he's moved across. It'll be a big difference, won't it?
If Kawasaki offered me the ride and I had to work with Marcel again, I'd say no.
Marcel's the guy Alex has been working with till now.
Yeah, I think.
You know, Perry Sound.
Yeah. He's been there, racing the British Championship.
He did, and he was fast.
Yeah, so he gets it. I think it's.
He rode for MSS, didn't he?
Yeah, he rode for Nick Morgan.
Yeah,
he rode
for Morgan.
So he's been around the job a long time. He's obviously been working with Johnny a long time. I think it'd be a massive change for me. In 2018 and 19, I was working with Andrew Pitt, obviously an ex-racer, and we had a really good relationship. And them 2 years, I was consistent. I didn't make that many mistakes. I was consistent, and I think that's what I need. Whereas last year, I sort of felt like I was on my own a bit, trying to make it happen when our back's against the wall, rather than we just keep trying, which is sometimes a mistake. But I think with Perry, I'm going to be able to manage situations a lot better. And at the level we're riding at now, that's basically all it is on the race weekends. You're just managing situations, whatever's happening with the weather, with the races, with the tyres. Everyone's riding well. Everyone's ready to go. All the bikes are good. But if you can manage each situation in a positive way, that's when you build up your confidence. And when you get confident, that's the ingredient that we all need to be putting a good year together.
I think now the group of people around you, the crew, but the way of working on the weekend is in Moto2, I noticed it a lot, but it's so important now.
And your team this year?
Yeah, well, it's all new in the sense that we've just been set up, but it's my crew chief in electronics are from Ducati, he's employed by Ducati, but he's Giovanni Crupi. He worked with Redding when he won in BSB and then went to Moto2 Bikes with Scott, but he's been in Ducati forever. And he also runs a development team for Ducati, so he's well in there. He's at Ducati every day.
I'm not sure if he's my crew chief, to be honest.
So I think he's qualified for the gig. But he's a top bloke, so I think that'll help me.
Have you looked across and thought, yeah, they're looking after him properly? I mean, have you looked across and thought to yourself, yeah, they're doing the right thing by my brother?
Yeah, a little bit. We spoke a lot about it. Like Sam said, obviously we want to try and beat each other, and that goes without saying, but after that, I want him to do well for him and Marina and the team. Obviously, we're personally involved a lot in it. And you know, if I can't use... I've been in World Superbike as an official rider for 10 years, so the experience I've got and the mistakes I've made, if I can't give some help to him and try to help him, it's a bad job. So we've been speaking quite a lot. I think the team's good. And, it's going
to
be...
What's so good about the team is they're really reactive and open to... They're really, okay, obviously, like all teams, result reliant, but they're open to do anything, and they're lucky what they can do, because it's not just about budgets and spending the money. Because if you spend the money in the wrong, there's also a lot of teams spending money in Superbike. You know, look at BMW now, look at Honda. So it's not just, but they're open and they spend the money and they'll do anything to get the result. And I think as a rider, it's difficult to ask more than that. Isn't it?
I think it's a benefit of a smaller team like that. Some of the factory teams, you spend a lot of time sort of. You can't actually do what you want to do because there's some factory restrictions and stuff like that. So their team should be able to adapt well, and he has to adapt well. And I think it's going to be good.
Now that Top Rack has come to play on BMW, they've got to up their game. BMW have always been about thereabouts, but they've not actually got over that crest, have they? They've never quite got to the point where the bike is winning material. Do you think this year is the one that adds an extra one to the
It looked hard, didn't it? It's hard to say, isn't it?
He'll win races on the BMW. He won't win the championship, in my opinion. I don't know. Leon obviously knows the BMW a lot more. I think that he's obviously a very talented rider and all the rest of it. But I think that, they're probably the team putting the most effort in, if you look with the test team with Bradley Smith and Sylvain, and obviously got Paul Toprak from Yamaha. But, I think it's going to be...
Having Sylvain would be a good signing. I think he's clever the way he thinks about the bike, the way he puts the comments across is good. But I think with the BMW over the years, it's if they really listen to what the riders say.
Which they haven't done back in the day.
Yeah, I don't think they have that much. And then in the end, that's that last bit. They can get close, but the last bit, you need to feel so comfortable on the bike and it all be together, which is hard to have.
At what point did your mum and dad back away from perhaps... pushing you two in a direction, because it is very easy for a dad to
oh no, they've been mega with that. It was really hard when we were younger, but at one point would have been 2010, 2011, just said it's up to you now on your own. Like, no, he never really comments anything.
Sam, tell me a story about Cadwell when I've been crashed up to the one
A story coming from Leon?
No. There's a couple of stories from Cardo. There's one we had new 125s.
Yeah, there's one that's relevant, actually. Now we're racing.
Yeah, there's one we had new 125s, and we did like a club race to not run them in, but, you know, do the end of the year, November, some new bikes the next year ever going them. And I was beating Alex and was going down into Mansfield. I was just tipping out and ding, 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 ding. Next minute.
T-bone. Right.
So he took me out, basically. I was a bit littler than Alex then. So after I crashed, I got back to the van and he got me against the van. He goes, "Don't fucking tell Dad." And then I'd never said it. I said, "Oh, yeah, I don't know what happened. I just lost the front." You know,
Yeah, the joys of Facebook. Maybe 10 years later, somebody put a
picture up. Someone had it on picture, like the proper
the
one,
sequence.
Two, three. I said, "There you go, look, took me out, Dad."
It was like, he passed me, he was getting away a bit, and I think I just thought, I've got to...
Not having it.
So he goes... Yeah, just be warned, that's what I'm prepared to do. Yeah. Might be a while ago, but we'll see, won't we?
I'll be tipping into Honda Airpin next week.
I'll have the Kawasaki just squealing, coming in.
Does it ever get more serious than joking like this? I mean, does it never get serious at all?
No, I think not, because when you take it step back, we both put everything in. We do our best. We're lucky to have professional, great teams around us. We're going to do our best. If it's Alex in front of me, if it's Alvaro in front of me, if it's Scott Redding, if whoever it is, I'll try and pass if I can. I'm not a dirty rider, so you do what you can. He's a dirty rider, but not a dirty rider. So and then after, you just got to be happy that you're in that position and fighting each other. Of course, there might be some cross words, but it never lasts long. Like when I beat him at golf, often he never. you don't get too annoyed.
I'm going to play on it big time because people. Yeah, might know,
also everyone's making loads of it. Also, I did a thing with World Superbike at a test, asking me loads of questions. I'm like, you really don't understand.
I'm going to start fighting.
Yeah, giving it big time. We saw you giving your fingers up to Al. Yeah. You got him away and that.
What is it? Who's prepared to do the worst?
Him.
I mean. It,
Who's the most desperate?
He don't know I've got 20 more horsepower, though, so we've all been racing a long time now. It's easy to pass
me. I genuinely don't think you're going to pass me on the brakes.
So. Well, I don't have to.
No, exactly. So I'm the one that's going to be in position. If I have to pass it,
imagine, though, this is you can sleep on this. And Leon, I've been talking a lot with Leon, who's won races in Phillip Island, told me some tricks, you know, to slipstream to the line.
Oh, yeah.
And with my bike to your bike, I was going to wait behind you, then just... Because if you win by half a tenth or 3 seconds, you still win. Or
if
still
it's for the win, I reckon you should just let me have it.
Do you weigh the same? Do you both weigh the same?
Yeah.
Exactly the same. So there's no advantage in body weight.
Well, we've got the weight limit now in Superbike, which is 80 kilos. So we're both under the limit. So we will weigh. Is that, you have to put weight?
Yeah, you're on the limit. You're more or less, aren't you, on the weight limit?
So we'll be the same. We'll have to be 80 kilo in
1 kilo, depend on the day and that. Not much in it.
Is that going to make much difference to the likes of Bautista? I mean, he's going to have to put some weight here and there on the bike.
The rule's strange. The rule's really strange because there's us three, right? If you're 80 kilograms in your kit, which is still quite light. I'm probably 78, 79. So still quite a low number.
You're five foot two.
Right.
I mean, so it's quite light.
But Bautista's 66 in his kit.
Yeah. So it's 14
kilos. In his kit. So he must be like, he must be what, 57?
56.
55 kilos, which is like, my daughter's five. She's 50. You know what I mean? It's close. So every kilo you're under, you only have to put half of it on.
Yeah.
So he's still going to be like...
He's still going to have like a 6 kilo advantage over everyone else.
Maybe more. So,
but then he's going to have 6 kilo on his bike.
Can you put
but
it anywhere you want?
He's been sandbagging. Yeah, you can put it where you want, but been saying intentionally...
Honestly, I've seen, like I said before, I get all that... If it had a racing Portimao, both rec tests, because everyone... We've done Jerez and Portimao all together, more or less everyone, I think, weren't there. More or less everyone was there. Only talking about the Ducatis, but it was all quite fast. He'd have probably won both races, and he was 15th at both of them.
Yeah,
and everyone's saying, "Oh, Bulliger's going to win," or Bautista. Honestly, he just didn't put the tyres in because he's saying, "Oh, the way." Fucking hell, you overlay the data. He's about 10k faster than me up the straight.
Yeah, he's still.
I'm not the best in aerodynamics. But
is the worrying thing the fact that the likes of Bautista can get the best out of his tyres late on in a race? He's still got edge grip late on when everyone else.
That's the bike. That really is him.
So you're looking forward to that as well?
Yeah, even me in testing, we've been talking about, at the end of the bike's so good, electronics are so good. He does it really well, but if the other guys on Ducati, Petrucci must be, what's Petrucci? He must be 90 kilo.
He's got to be.
And at the end of the race, he's still faster than the Yamahas. And you know, maybe he's not had a good race, but he'll still come through at the end. So the bike, and then he's little, and Bautista, even in his history, his riding style, he gets off the corner good. So it looks like that, but it's also the bike that's good.
He's not smiling now.
I've been struggling, and I texted him after the first day. I was like, oh, I was on the 800 or something. But in 15 laps, I was doing like 40 at the end. He's like, fucking hell, first stage. You know, like, oh, is that all right? He's like, that's not bad.
It's been one of our... General in Kawasaki, it's been one of our weak areas, is they've gone softer and softer with the Pirelli tyres over the years, and it's been harder and harder for us to make the tyres last. So, but I've been working this winter, so we'll see, won't we?
Superbike is always, obviously, all the bikes have different... Okay, the Ducati is better, but they all have good and bad points. Like the Kawasaki is on new tyres, you can do the lap time
grip,
to keep it going, which is it's not nice to say, but the electronics nowadays play too much of a role, really.
Seem to be a very modern-day type situation, tyres nowadays. In MotoGP, they're still fiddling around with the rules now. I was speaking to Danny Aldridge earlier on today, and they're now going for... Michelin are going to adjust that lower limit throughout the year. It's not going to stay 1.8 bar like it's been so far this year. They're going to have a variable limit, that Michelin say, but they want
depend
it to...
Depend on the track. Or?
60%, though, of the race has got to be above.
But a lot of the
limit.
Stuff they do, they have too much input now from riders, from the teams, from everyone. So when you have a lot of input, like this weight we've just been about for Superbike, there's just a weight limit. If you're under the weight, you put the weight on, like was in Moto2. And it's not new, is it? It's been around a long time. If you're, you know, in Latin 125s, it's a big advantage. So there's a weight. Now they have, they don't want to piss Honda off because they're putting the money there. They don't want to annoy Ducati because they're putting... Now, like with the tyre, it should be the tyre pressure's out and that's it.
Yeah, the manufacturers have too much power, really.
When you make a rule that's sort of a rule...
Because like the Ducati in Superbike,
it's like your missus saying you can't kiss anyone else, but if you want, if you're in the position to,
I think you're burying yourself here, mate. I'd go steady. Do you know we are recording this?
That's not a good example. I think
I've seen it on telly.
Probably a bad example. Yeah. Sorry, Marina.
But with the like in Superbike, we get our revs back. All of the manufacturers, so they're trying to do this RPM balancing. So Ducati will have 1,000 more revs next year. So then how does that balance for the weight for Bautista? Is he going to lose or gain? And it just ends up being, we don't want to hear it. Like, I don't want to hear it. You guys don't want to hear it. The fans don't want to. We don't want to watch the race and everyone's going about tyre pressures. Oh, Pedrosa's done a great race. Should leave it at that. But actually, his tyre pressure was this or that. And
that was the other thing I was going to say. They're not disqualifying them now this year, whereas they were going to disqualify
it's
them.
Just a warning.
MotoGP. No, it's
financial.
Time.
You're dropping it a few
They're
places
going to give them time. And you get half the time for a sprint race. So whatever the penalty is in the main race, half the penalty is for a sprint race.
Because a lot of them were saying it was three place, wasn't it? It was 3 seconds or 3 places.
Yeah, but even now we're confused. I mean, the worst thing could have happened.
Because then Digi got second, he ended up being fourth.
Yeah.
But he was saying, I'd still do it again, because he reckons he'd never finish fourth having
with the right
pressure.
Tyre pressure.
So then you think, well, come on then. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And you can argue about it until... Yeah, forever.
Well, the worst case, you mentioned it earlier on for everyone that's watching, if you've got a podium that's up there celebrating and popping the corks, and then they're not the three that are going to be up there.
Yeah. Well, especially towards the end of the year. Do you know what I mean? When it's for the championship or it's a bit more, it's always serious, but there's a bit more on the line.
So bringing it back to World Superbike then, in that particular case, I mean, are you happy with the way the regs are at the moment?
I am.
But I genuinely try not to get involved, because it's. I think as a rider, it's not something you should be. It's not something we should be like wasting time about. I think as a rider, you just need to do the best you can, and we always end up talking. It's always talking about something or complaining about what they've got or what anyone's got. But the reality is, just need to focus on what we've got the best we can. I think
options when you got to, when it's it needs to, if it's all definitive, then you can't say anything.
Yeah.
And you will for one weekend, maybe two, then nobody will mention it again. It's perfect. You can talk about
the
racing.
And the guys that win, everybody will say the bike's good. The guys that finish at the back, and that'll always be the same.
And it always has been.
And it always has been the same,
There's never been any changes in that one.
And with racers, you don't want to give anyone credit. You can't possibly say that they've done a good job. You have to say, well...
You'll have to, it's your brother.
I've played my bike for 3 years. I've been on the same as everyone else.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a break, I think, for everyone to replenish or nip to the loo or whatever you might be able to do. And if you're watching it on audio, listening to it on audio and watching it on OMG MotoGP, then stay with us. We'll be back in part two. Thank you very much, folks.
Hey, Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.